Welcome, everyone, to Real Career Talk. I'm your host, Phil Perquette. This is a monthly podcast brought to you by The Network, where we spend an hour each month having an informal discussion around career hot topics, including talent development, pillars for 2020, emotional intelligence education, skill development, and even networking with prominent leaders in business and our community. I introduce some and present to others Kevin Willis. He is AVP of Transformation, and Claudia Coleman, AVP of Network Operations. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome, both of you all. I know you're excited to get started. I'm very excited to dive right in. But before we do, as I always do tradition, I like to start off in asking my guests, what is it that they're sharing? What are they drinking today? And what's mine is my favorite Starbucks Misto coffee. Even in COVID-19, I make it at home, but it is a Starbucks Misto coffee. Claudia, what you drinking this morning?
I'm a tea drinker. I drink tea all day long. I transition from something that will give me a little pickup with a green tea. And then in the middle of the day, I start going to my peppermint. And then towards the end of the day, I do ginger, chamomile, nighty-night just to take me into the end. But I drink tea all day, any season.
Well, that is awesome. Awesome. Okay. Okay. Now, do you add anything like cream? You know, any, what is that?
No.
Stevia? Nothing. Just raw. Okay.
Yes, I do not add anything. I like to taste the flavor of tea. So I add no sugar, no honey, nothing.
Wow. That's powerful. Okay, good. All right, Claudia, I like how you rolling with that. All right, Kevin, so what are you drinking?
I am fairly straightforward, and my go-to is water. But on occasion, I work in a fruit smoothie or something of that nature as well.
Okay, water. All right. All right. That's cool too, Kevin. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. All right. So we're going to start out our conversation. We're going to do a little shift from the way we normally do it. And I'm going to start out with Kevin. Kevin, one of our first questions that we want to start our session out with today is, when you think about transformation, is it necessary, thinking about technical skills, and when you think about where we're going forward, we're in 2020 and looking forward, talk about the importance or the significance of having technical skills in the workplace today.
Very good question. I think it is extremely important to have technical skills. Technology touches every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our business. And if you don't have those technology skills or an understanding of technology to some degree, you'll find yourself operating in a world where you can't speak the predominant language of the society you're operating in, if you will. I've had the opportunity to, travel to other countries. And if our listeners have had the same opportunity, we're fortunate, many of us that speak predominantly English, that folks adjust to our language. But if you've tried to communicate to somebody that doesn't speak English, you understand how difficult it can be to operate and function. And technology really is no different. Having the ability to communicate, having the skills associated with technology, allow you to be functional in the society. And without those skills, it just makes it much more challenging and more difficult for you to function and operate fluently, in the technology-driven world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. So without that language, that language, you're really working at a handicap is what I hear you saying, right, Kevin?
I think that is spot on. You are certainly working at a handicap. And the reality is, technology continues to advance, right? Every day, there's something new that came out. Things that we experience today, you know, might not have even been in existence 3 or 4 years ago. And so the constant evolution requires us to constantly evolve and acquire those skills so that we can be, you know, relevant in our kind of day-to-day lives and also relevant in our jobs and in our careers.
Mm-hmm. So then talk to me about some of the technical skills you would recommend. You say are essential then for those that are looking to be relevant and not have that handicap, as you just mentioned.
Yeah. So, software development is a core skill that I would say it's important to have some awareness of. In many cases have, everything that we see around us is software driven in some way, shape or form. And I think it's important. And I use two dimensions, right? In terms of having the skill. And the second dimension is being aware of or understand the skill itself, right? Not everybody is going to be a software developer, you know, in today's, you know, ecosystem and in today's world. But having the ability to understand what software development is about, what components make it up, how it's done, are things that are extremely important as you interact with those that are developers, that are technologists, if you will. Cloud technology is another one. We are in the process of moving a lot of infrastructure at AT&T, you know, from physical hardware to the cloud. So understanding, you know, how that technology works, why it's being utilized, its, you know, pros and cons versus physical hardware is an important element to understand as well. Scaled agile software delivery is another skill. Increasingly, businesses want to operate in an environment where their software development process is de-risked. And part of what that means is we're going to deliver capabilities in small increments, get feedback from the customer that's utilizing that software, allow them to tell us what makes the most sense in terms of the next piece of development that would add value for them, and then ultimately take that next step. And part of that means that, you know, you're adjusting with the market versus, you know, spending a year to develop something and then launch it. You may spend 30 to 60 days to develop, you know, what folks call a minimal viable product, test it in the market, see if it's relevant, and ultimately add capabilities from there that meet your consumers more, you know, expansive breadth of needs. So those are a few, and there's certainly many others, but those were a few that are predominant in the spaces that I've operated in recently.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about technical skills, I'm the guy that is sitting here with a business degree. And Claudia, you can jump in on this one. If you so choose. I'm a guy with a business degree. I'm a guy with HR. I got the HR experience in abundance. And now I'm being told, you know, you got to get some technical skills, software development, coding, all of these things, you know, that I just heard Kevin talk about. But my life, my passion is here. What do you say to that leader who is maybe settled? Unfortunately, I don't want to use the word settled, but that's been their life. What do you say to them when you're telling them, okay, it's easy to say, you need some technical skills, but what do you tell them? How do they transfer, shift, pivot into this? So what's some advice that you would give them?
Yeah, I think of it in terms of understanding how technology is used in the space in which you work, right? I mentioned a moment ago that technology touches everything that, you know, we ultimately do. And so, if you're in HR as an example, you know, there's a technology infrastructure, you know, that supports how the organization manages performance and development, as an example. There's a technology infrastructure that manages how the organization learns and pivots its skills. Starting with understanding how some of those things work. You know, maybe a way to jump into a space and technology that's relevant to what you do. But it's also important to take on some of these broader concepts so that you're not just ingesting what it is the organization is doing today, but how technology might inform where the organization is going and what the organization might do tomorrow. But that's one recommendation I would have about where to start for someone that maybe doesn't have a deep technical background or hasn't been broadly exposed to technology in the area that they're operating.
Claudia, did you have any? Go ahead. Yes.
Yes, I'd like to speak up a little more on why. So the recommendations that Kevin gave are excellent. And what we have to understand is you gave your resume of things that you have studied in your time. The generations that are coming up today, they know this baseline business expertise, and technology is just part of their world. I'm a Generation Xer, and there was a time where I could actually write on my resume that I had business acumen in Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint. And that's because it was new. Now it's just an expectation of an individual that comes to the table. And the generations that we are working with today, the new ones that are entering the market, the new ones that are on our teams, they have the HR degree, but they are very versed in technology because it is part of their lives. They didn't have to adopt it like some others did. So as part of survival, doing the things that Kevin recommended, that is part of survival.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a great way to segue or shift into, Claudia, a question for you. When you're thinking about that survival, and I want to shift and talk about acumen. Let's talk about acumen, talking about good judgment. How would you, and I'm just adding in my own thoughts, but how would you define business acumen today for the new leader?
Business acumen is fundamentally knowing what's going on. It's knowing the language of your business. It's knowing what the analysts say in your business. It's knowing the things that matter in your business, because all of those things act as a filter for any decision that you make. And that's just what business acumen is. In any environment that we go in where we are responsible for making decisions or responsible for working, one of the things you want to do is make sure that you understand the culture, you understand what's going on, you understand the objectives so that you can make informed decisions. And that's what business acumen is.
And feel free to add in at any time, Kevin, if you want. I'm shifting over to Claudia now. I had a leader once ask me, Claudia, and I'm going to ask you, business acumen, good judgment, and good decisions, understanding culture. What about business etiquette? Is there such a thing, you know, for our young leaders coming into business now, is there business etiquette that goes along with that judgment and decision-making and good decisions?
There is business etiquette. And there's business etiquette, but I also have caution to some business etiquette. So let me explain.
Okay.
There is business etiquette in our workplace that talks about how you interact with people. It goes into your social behavior, but it even goes into how you dress. And a lot of that has been conditioned. The rules have been set by some foundational things that we've put in the past that, and sometimes lacks diversity and inclusion. So there is business etiquette. The conversations that I have with mentees is there is some business basic business etiquette where you have to know how to interact with people. You have to know how to engage with conversations. You have to know some of those basic rules that you should and should not break. But at the same time, don't lose yourself. So arrive on time. That's a basic one that you need to know. Dress appropriately for work. But the appropriately for work really could cross the lines of the diversity and inclusion. What's appropriate if I have a cultural dress that is different than some of the traditional dress in the office? Well, that is appropriate. It can still be appropriate. The business etiquette teaches you how to speak with others, but diversity and inclusion, it may say, go ahead and be comfortable with your language and how you say things. Be comfortable with your accent. You don't have to be like everyone else. So there are some basics in there about how you dress, how you act. Don't gossip. Don't eavesdrop. But I always like to coach people to not lose themselves in what we have traditionally defined as business etiquette.
Kevin, what's your thoughts on that today, young gentleman in our audience out there that's looking to move forward in business and he wants to show good business acumen? Talk to me about business etiquette from your point of view.
Yeah, I think business etiquette, as Claudia pointed out, has lots of different dimensions to it. Each organization we're a part of or join has a different culture to it. And I think it's important to recognize and understand what that culture is. As Claudia, pointed out, you have to be yourself. And we're fortunate to work at a company that largely encourages us to be ourselves at AT&T. And it's important at the end of the day that you don't lose sight of that, right? You want to make sure that you are part of the existing culture. You bring something unique and different that others may not bring. And it's important to embrace that while still being part of your broader ecosystem and environment.
Okay. So let's go back. Thank you, Kevin. So let's go back to a business acumen. Claudia, what topics or areas of business that fall under business acumen to you? Why are each important and to being successful in the business, in the workplace today?
That is a good question, because a lot of people ask this when they're trying to figure out, they're trying to make it something tangible, which it is tangible. And you can start with, do you understand the financial language, the financial position of the company? And if not, how do you go about that? Well, get involved with the investor relations report, reading what analysts are saying, attending the calls, the investor relations calls, listening to the questions, and then taking the opportunity to go out and do some research on your own, where you understand how to read a balance sheet. You understand what our financial position is versus some of our key competitors. You also have to know about who our key competitors are and what gives them the advantage and what gives us the advantage. You have to understand what's being said about us in social media, which is always an interesting piece because that impacts our stock price, that impacts our ability to grow. So when you're looking at the elements of business, of developing business acumen, let's say learn a language, understand our financial implications, know who our customers are. And then the last one I would add in there is really understanding how our departments interconnect, because even that helps you to make more informed decisions. You're not making decisions in a silo. You're partnering with peers that you impact more, really trying to understand the impact you would have on someone in a business decision. And that really separates you from other people in the business and raises you up as a leader. Mm-hmm.
So getting, you're getting settled. You're learning the culture. You're learning norms. You're learning, their knowledge. You're learning their, what makes that organization and that group and that, department successful. You're learning the leadership. Now, how do I balance transitioning out? What is it that, and what I mean by that is, I want to learn, but what we've heard leaders say in the business, don't get too settled too long. You have a young leader coming into the business now, wants to understand business knowledge and acumen, understanding, making good decisions. But now I also don't want to get settled. I want to stay progressive. I want to continue growing. How do they balance that? Plot again, then I'll hear from Kevin as well on that question.
I believe everyone has a responsibility to always know what their scorecard looks like. And their personal scorecard is their personal assessment of what skills they bring to the table and what gaps they have. And that's usually based on, if you look at it like a formula, that's usually based on some goal. As you mature in your business acumen, as you mature in your personal awareness, that outcome is better defined. So you have some people, and I say that because I am explaining that it is okay for that outcome to change. But you have some individuals that are well developed in the business. Like, I'll take me, for example. I love operations, and I know that. And because I know that, I have, my goals are set around different operations jobs. And you can set your goal around, early on in my career, my goal was set around getting different flavors of experience so that I could have a good foundation. It was, I wanted to lead a large team. I need to be on wireline and the mobility side of the business. I wanted field experience. I wanted center experience. Everyone has to understand what their formula is so then they can go out and figure out the gaps that they need to fill so that they develop. We have to be careful about being flippant in getting a job offer that does not benefit us, does not build our career, does not build our resume, and then we can't be competitive in the market. Another way you can find out what that formula, what the gap looks like and what your formula makeup is, just look at job descriptions that are on LinkedIn or any other website and things that you find that you may be interested in. And then look at the business requirements and see if you actually meet those business requirements. If you do not, be deliberate about the next position that you place yourself in the company so that you can fill those gaps. Even if you can't get the experience in the company, use nonprofit organizations that you're involved in to get that experience. So it's an opportunity to really always assess where you are, where you're trying to go, where's the gap, and making sure you're deliberate about the next steps. The last thing I'll say is if you have invested in understanding the business, that business acumen discussion that we had, then you'll have a strong idea of where the business is going. And you'll also know how to navigate yourself to the growing parts of the business, because sitting on an investor relations call, you'll understand very clearly where the business is growing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Kevin, what about you? What business knowledge have you found has served you well?
Claudia makes excellent points that I think understanding the business in total is really important. When you sit in a given role, understanding who supplies your organization's inputs, right? Who your outputs go to and how they impact downstream teams is all extremely important. And it essentially allows you to sit in a seat and watch a number of different things happen, understand how they fit together and help translate that for others. A lot of my past experience, quite frankly, has been really attempting to understand these things better. And whether that's through an analyst call, like Claudia mentioned, whether it's through an earnings call, whether it's through a town hall meeting, right? You get those understandings and are able to stitch together what different organizations are trying to accomplish and ultimately how that moves forward the company's agenda as a whole. So that's one of the things that I've done historically. I've also sought, and I know, you know, in our series, we've talked about, you know, mentors and supporters, but I've often sought to engage people in other organizations, right? To sit down and have coffee and learn about what they're doing, you know, learn about how what they're doing may impact or touch what it is that I'm focused on. Those are all different ways of digesting how you can get a bigger and broader picture other than what you're focused on day to day. And as Claudia mentioned, getting that bigger and broader picture will help you understand where your organization is going. It will help you understand where your company is going, and it will help you understand what moves proactively you should be making to best position yourself for the next opportunity or a new opportunity, or just to be more effective in the work that you do every day. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So when you think about, and both of you are giving sound advice to our audience out here, when you think about, now I want to shift a little and talking about career development, we talk about marketing, we talk about, we've talked about technology and skill development. I want to focus specifically on leadership skills. Both of you all are very accomplished in your roles. You're leaders in the business. You're making a difference. Tell us what leadership skills you believe are critical to have right now, and even considering with what we're dealing with now, COVID-19, and why. Let's start with Claudia.
Well, we already talked about knowing the business, and that is truly foundational. But the other two that I would add, one, communicating powerfully. And this has become even more important over the phone during COVID time where you have to express your energy across the phone. You can't read the audience if no one is on video. So you have to be very deliberate about your communication. And communication is really your ability to tell a story of impact. I feel like if we're always searching about on how to tell a more effective story or impact with impact, then it helps you to ask the right questions and you'll be able to see the gaps in execution around your business, because everything you do, you're constantly figuring out, well, what is the story? How would I tell the story? It's the so what. So the communicating powerfully. And then the other one that I've learned in the last year and a half is the importance of connecting with people. And we hear about this and we hear about it in the form of networking, but I am realizing more and more how deliberate you have to be with starting with who you are versus what you do. And it helps so you can be more direct. I'm a pretty direct communicator when it comes to feedback or how I think we need to improve. I just go for it. I've realized that as I connect with people and I focus on that first, I'm making sure they understand who I am. I'm making sure that there is a feeling from them that I am there for them and I have strong intentions for their development. May this be supervisor, peer, or direct report. Then everything that I do after that, it goes across so much better. So I'd say knowing the business, communicating powerfully, and then connecting with people are the three that I would pick up for key leadership skills.
Okay. All right. How about you, Kevin? Thank you, Claudia. Kevin, how about you?
I think Claudia is spot on when she talks about effective communication. I would add proactive to that. In the environment we're in, right? Oftentimes it's important for us to get ahead of certain things in our communication. And so I think that is absolutely one that leaders should have. Others that I would add, our collaboration. We almost always are getting work done in concert with and in partnership with other people and teams. And so your ability to effectively collaborate with others, find solutions where they may not, exist at first blush, I think is really important. Critical thinking. We have some very complex business problems that exist, in the world today, but also in the businesses that we operate. Being able to think strategically about those problems, being able to understand the different dimensions of those challenges and think through them to find a mutually agreeable resolution or beneficial resolution to the business is important. And then the last one I would say is team building. Oftentimes as leaders, we inherit teams, sometimes we build teams. But most of the work that we do as leaders is done through other people. And so if you are a leader in the business, at a supervisory level in particular, your ability to hire, recruit, staff, develop the most effective team you can is going to be critical to your success. And quite frankly, one of the obligations we have to the people that report to us is to help them get the most of their talents and skills and make the biggest contribution that they can make to the business.
A lot of the things that you're sharing, both of you all are sharing, actually ties a lot to what AT&T is known for, the extraordinary leader model. And you think about the facets that that you're sharing, talking about personal development, talking about interpersonal skill sets, all necessary. I appreciate you talking about critical thinking. I was talking to one leader, and you will find, or one leader actually stated to me that I think that we're losing that. We've lost that generationally. Claudia was talking about generational thinking earlier. You lost that kind of critical thinking process because for the Googlerians out there, you have a whole generation that are known as Googlerians as opposed to, talk to me how that could be a handicap in business if you're not growing that critical thinking skill set, that's skill development that's necessary, Kevin, if you're going to rely just as we can, technology allows us to find answers quicker. Do you find that to be a problem in your realm right now, Kevin and Claudia, in business and in your transformation area, in your operations area? Do you find that our young leaders might need to work and develop even more in critical thinking? Either one.
I think it's very important. And at least in my mind, critical thinking is obviously understanding the problem that's in front of you. Mm-hmm. But it's also understanding kind of the series, right, of implications, or the series of decisions, or series of solutions and counter problems, right, that might be created as a result of a decision or call that you might make, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to think through that series and come to a conclusion that ultimately is beneficial to the business, I think is really important. I don't know that I would call it a problem per se, mm-hmm. but I think it's something that we actively have to continue to work on. Mm-hmm. The inputs in our environment constantly change, right? We've talked about technology. We know that there are all different types of technologies that get used, in our world. We've talked about, generations and how certain generations or different segments of our population may have a thought process, and one way or another, about certain things. And so as all those inputs come in and they continue to evolve and vary, our ability to think through and adapt and understand points of view, understand different inputs and put those all into, as Claudia said previously, right, the formula for, what a good decision outcome may look like. Those are all things we have to stay in tune with and all things we have to continue to work on and continue to develop. And it's the constant kind of sensing, resensing of the things happening around us and the things that, we're engaged with that can help do that. And it comes through practice. It comes through active learning. And ultimately, it's one that, like any muscle, right, if you don't practice it, it will atrophy quickly. And so definitely important for us to continue to lean in and practice critical thinking in general.
Mm-hmm. Claudia, any thoughts?
I do have thoughts on this. I think about, I have not read the article about the Googlearian and some of the challenges around critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I'm going to date myself here. I remember when the T180 or, yes, it was the T180 calculator that we had in school that was very, very popular. And I would get frustrated when someone would tell me to work out a problem that I already knew how to work out, but I didn't want to invest the time in because I wanted to get to the more challenging part. And I could just type the answer into the calculator and get it.
Mm-hmm.
That is how, now that I am a teacher under COVID, I'm officially a teacher for my sixth grader and third grader. I see them going through the same thing where they will ask me, well, why do I have to think through that when I can just Google it? And the cool thing about that is, yes, they can just Google it and they don't have to think through that because technology is here, but I can still teach them critical thinking and we still work on critical thinking. We still work on understanding the series of decisions and questions that we need to ask that Kevin talked about. We still work on understanding the practice of learning and exercising that muscle. But things that are just there for them now, I don't have to make them do it just because my generation had to do it. So they're picking up critical thinking. I see their work now more than I ever have. They're picking up critical thinking because the teachers are giving them opportunities there. And then as parents, we're responsible for not doing the helicopter thing too much. But they have so much access to information. If we challenge them and continue to challenge them to think through the why and have a voice for themselves,
mm-hmm.
they'll continue to be fine in this area. But they also have Google, just like we had calculators and we had typewriters that spell check for us and we had computers that spell check for us. It didn't make us more ignorant. It just helped us to move forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is all excellent insight that you're sharing with us today. And Kevin, what advice would you give to those who might be reporting to growing leaders? How do we manage up in that scenario?
I think it's a great question. And as much as, we focus on technology and think about technical skills, I think it's important to remain mindful that we're all in a people business.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what type of leader we report to, growing or otherwise, right? When I think of managing up, I think it's always important to place yourself in the seat of your boss, if you will, or your boss's boss. And ask yourself, what's important to them and how am I directly contributing to the things that are important to them? That may involve, understanding what they're focused on at this moment, right? In this situation, if you're on a call or in a meeting, understanding that might help, provide, a bit more sense around what really matters to them and whether you're doing value-added work at that point in time to support, what they're looking to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
What concerns do they have? Ultimately addressing those concerns, puts them at ease and obviously increases or might increase your value to them. What specifically are they trying to accomplish, and what do they have in their A&D? One of the things that I've done throughout my career is to try to understand what my boss and what my boss's boss are seeking to accomplish on A&Ds, and then, you know, asking myself, am I influencing those objectives? Am I contributing to those objectives? You know, where are they taking the organization over the next year or two? And we've talked about town halls. We've talked about, you know, analyst presentations, as ways of trying to understand this. And we can understand some of this through direct conversation as well. But am I focused on deliverables that, over a course of time contribute toward, you know, a bigger transformation that the organization may be, going through? And then lastly, I'll just say, you know, what behaviors are important to them, you know, in terms of how things are accomplished. You know, oftentimes, you know, some leaders may be more data driven in how they think. Mm-hmm. Some leaders may be more collaborative and look for, you know, solutions or consensus across the team. And so working in those fashions and ultimately delivering results or working on things in the way that, you know, makes them more comfortable are ways that I think about managing up and hitting and touching on things that are important to my leader. My viewpoint is that if I'm working on relevant stuff to them, if I'm contributing and seeking to, you know, achieve success in a way that they're comfortable with, if I'm decreasing their anxiety, then, you know, managing up in many respects, right, becomes a bit more natural for me and allows me to focus on not so much managing up artificially, but it gives me the ability to focus on what's important for the organization, what's important to that leader, and then focus my work and my work efforts around that so that managing up becomes a natural part of my work cycle, not an artificial interaction or an artificial exchange, so to speak, in my work with them.
Mm-hmm. Excellent thoughts on that. And as I want to hear from Claudia as well, because Kevin, you might want to give a response on Claudia's response. Claudia, tell us, what's your thoughts on this?
I really like the pieces that Kevin put in there. So that is not an artificial interaction, artificial exchange, which is a lot of times the concern of people when people challenge them on how well they're managing up. When you asked this question, you talked about a growing leader. So I'm going to take some implications from that that may say that this leader is still potentially early on in their career developing. And now you may be in a situation where you're reporting to that person. I wholeheartedly believe that there is always, and I do mean always, something that you can learn from anyone that you work for or with. And if you think about contributions in that category, a quote unquote growing leader may have some areas of the business that they can teach you while you also teach them. When I coach people about mentoring, I encourage them to not have mentors that are just levels higher than them, but have peer mentors and people that are at different levels if they're at a mid-level, because everyone has something that you can pick up on. And in order for this to happen, in order for you to have an open growth mindset to pick up on things, mm-hmm. you have to make sure that you're staying positive. And then to the point of Kevin, you're communicating with them often, but you're communicating with purpose because you know what is important to them. You know what brings them anxiety. You know what they are trying to articulate that they have done in an impactful way at the end of the year, or at the end of the month on their Amplify. And it helps you to stay aligned. I believe that we have to be very intentional about recognizing positive attributes of all leaders so that we can be open to learning and that we can also be open to receiving. And then I would say in the end, our development is really our responsibility, and it doesn't just come from a boss. It comes from mentoring relationships. It comes from leaning on peers. It comes from training that you take. It comes from challenging yourself. So you can always have a good situation, no matter what supervisor you have. You can always have a positive growth situation if you don't just put everything on the leader to develop you, which is self-accountability for us all.
Mm-hmm. Excellent points. It's interesting that you say this. What I'm hearing you all say is kind of like servant leadership in a sense. And Dr. Paul Hershey, he wrote the book Situational Leadership, and he looked at it from the leadership aspect to the follower. What do they need from me to be successful? And what I hear you all saying is that's the mindset. If you're looking to manage up, what does this person need? If I'm going to report to growing leaders, what do they need from me in order to be effective and successful in their realm? So this is excellent. I have one final question for Claudia. Well, I did say final, didn't I, Claudia? Don't hold me to that. I might have a follow-up, though. When it comes to personal growth and development, we've been talking a lot about that, and we're talking about it in networking. We talk about how do we market ourselves. We talked about it in regards to personal development and interpersonal skills. How best to rely on our leaders when it comes to that personal development? Should we, how much should we rely on our leaders? How best do we rely on our leaders? And then what do we need to do for ourselves? I think we talked a lot about what do we need to do for ourselves, what we need to do for ourselves. How do we best rely on our leaders for this, what we've been sharing today?
I think we have to realize that we have some supervisors that are honestly just present. And I call them present because they're not a hindrance to your advancement and your development, mm-hmm. but they're also not a leg up. And it may not come from a place of ill intent. Perhaps they're more focused on their visibility, because that can happen. Or they could have already picked the one or two people in the business that they feel like they want to sponsor and highlight. And they're just not that into you. That is literally possible and something that people go through every day. But you also have some leaders that are investors of people, and they get their satisfaction from developing others so that they're all in. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you can, we change supervisors often in this business. Sometimes we do that proactively, and sometimes it just happens to us. But knowing that that can be very situational and it can change, I still say that personal development ultimately starts with us. We're responsible for setting our own personal goals. We're responsible for understanding our gaps. We're responsible for developing plans, maybe joining Toastmasters or taking a leadership in, as I said earlier, that nonprofit organization, so that you can have an opportunity to supervise people, coordinate with people, project manage, something that may or may not be offered in your specific role. We're responsible for all of that, and we work in our supervisors where we can. Now, there is a part of that where we should always be open to holding our supervisors accountable. And I've coached people that have had incomplete communication relationships with their supervisors. I've coached them to be proactive to set a weekly one-on-one, even if the supervisor doesn't do it. And if the supervisor happens to cancel, send that supervisor an email with all of the things that you accomplished that week. Throw in a couple of questions to make sure that you all are engaging. And if any of those meetings get canceled, if they're constantly getting canceled, then you constantly put it back on the calendar. And at some point, you may have to stop and say, and speak up and say, I need your help. I am proactively trying to reach you, trying to make sure that you know what's going on in our business, and you can develop me and push me further if I am not adding or contributing to the progression of this business. Mm-hmm. And I need your help. I need you to be involved. I need you to step back in the game. And here's what I'm seeing, and here is how it makes me feel. And that is a very mature conversation that you have to practice if you have never done it. But that is the accountability that you can push back on a leader and rely on them and hope that they respond to you. And if they don't, you can still get help from an HRBP or another mentor in the business. But it's really on us. And then there are some steps where we can pull our supervisors in if they are not proactively engaged.
Mm-hmm. Phil, I was going to add to what Claudia said, which I think is spot on. Mm-hmm. Right?
Please do.
We ultimately, I think, should have a diverse group of leaders, quote unquote, right, that we rely on to, you know, support our career direction. As Claudia mentioned, you know, personal development and growth is each of our own responsibilities. That's really identifying kind of a destination, right, mm-hmm. that you have for your personal development, creating a plan and a roadmap to get there, and then executing on that plan. And support along the way is going to come from bosses, mentors, supporters, advocates, and maybe even peers, right? That could fit any number of those categories that I just talked about. As we, you know, execute on that plan, right, the destination may change. But if you find that there is, you know, less support with your direct supervisor, it may be that there is a lot more support from a former boss, or a lot more support from a mentee or mentor that ultimately can support, you know, helping you advance your plan. But I think for the reasons Claudia talked about, having diversity amongst that group of folks, where it's not simply your boss, all of us want the support of our bosses. All of us want the engagement from our bosses to help advance our careers. And hopefully for the majority of folks, that's the case. But if it's not, you know, recognize that there are options and alternatives to your direct supervisor that are at your disposal as well.
Mm-hmm. This is excellent advice that you all are sharing. And we're nearing the end of our conversation today. And as we wrap up, you can say that when you think about our skills development program, which includes the topics, really what we talked about today, business, leadership, technical learning paths, based on our conversation of when you think about significance and or importance, would you recommend that our membership take part in the skills development program?
I'd say yes. I really appreciate the fact that a couple of years ago, or less than 2 years ago, the company opened our training path mm-hmm. up to LinkedIn Learning. Because talk about an opportunity to get expert knowledge from people outside of just AT&T that doesn't just talk AT&T talk, or not just grown up through AT&T, but really a bigger breadth of experience. And the training path that has been outlined in the business, the leadership, and then the technical pieces, it is constantly refreshed, is up to date, and it gives you some of the basics of the business acumen mm-hmm. at your own pace. You tap into the things that you probably have gaps into. You get a refresher on the things that you think you may know, but it may add some other things that may stick this time better than it has in the past. It is a great opportunity to develop, but we sometimes put that to the back burner. We do email, we do calendars, we do all of these things, and we're giving, but we're not reinvesting, which really diminishes what you are capable of giving at some point. Mm-hmm. So I like to encourage people that are listening, block off some time for your development, because it makes everything else you do just that much better. You can't continue to give and never refill the tank.
I would echo exactly what Claudia said. I would also really encourage people to think about a lot of the offerings at AT&T in particular as things that are not just about, you know, growing your career at AT&T, but are things that are more focused on making you a competitive person from a talent and skills perspective in the technology world in general. Whether it's a, you know, Microsoft Azure certification, whether there are nano degrees, mm-hmm. whether there are technical degrees that you pursue, those things certainly make you a more talented and capable resource here at AT&T. But more, maybe more importantly, they make you a more competent and talented, you know, person to pursue a job anywhere. As great as our company is, and you know, as good a 24-year almost career that I've had here, lots of things are changing. And the reality is that it's up to each one of us to take ownership over, you know, how we're preparing ourselves for the future. And whether that be a future here at AT&T or whether it be a future outside of AT&T, a lot of the skills and capabilities that and courses that AT&T has made available make you marketable, you know, in general. So take advantage of it, right? Don't take it for granted. It's there for you to use. You know, I think, you know, the company recognizes that, you know, at the end of the day, not everybody acquiring these skills are going to be career employees or, you know, be here for, you know, the long term. So take advantage of the opportunities that you have. Don't just think about career development as being a Monday through Friday activity. It needs to happen 24 hours a day and on weekends as well. And if ultimately you are intent on being successful, intent on making yourself the most capable resource and person that you can, you know, take advantage of those things in your off hours, take advantage of those things in the evening time, take advantage of what's been made available to you, because it absolutely can help you grow your capabilities and grow your career inside and outside of AT&T.
Wow. This has been awesome. This has been great. I am totally humbled by getting insight from you all in the areas that we've covered today. Claudia, you've been phenomenal. Kevin, you've been great. What how I normally wrap up our sessions is I turn the floor to you and I ask you, hey, talk to us, give us last points of advice that you want to share to our audience, or let us know things that are coming down the pipeline that you might want to get out right now, do a little marketing yourself. Totally up to you. I know I've seen Claudia, you coming out. There's something that you're a guest host or speaker in one of the invites and coming down on in middle of the month, I believe. I think that's what I saw, Claudia. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. But please take a few moments, share. Kevin, let's start with Claudia first. Just share with us last tidbits that you want to share to the audience, and then Kevin, and we'll wrap up.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. That event that you're talking about is the Network DFW Chapter Fireside Chat, and I actually think it's tomorrow.
Whoa,
okay. At 2 p.m.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But then it will be on recording for others to listen to. The last thing I'd say is this has been a really good conversation. I recommend that anyone who hasn't been engaged in the book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, take an opportunity to get to understand that book, read it. It's one of the ones that have been going across for our leaders, which is another good thing in the whole business acumen conversation. Mm-hmm. Know what your leaders are reading and where their mind is, and it helps you to have insight for those times once we go back to the office and you happen to be in an elevator with them, or just to understand what they're talking about when they host a town hall and they're trying to express where the business is going. But thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Mm-hmm. Kevin?
Phil, I want to thank you for hosting this session, and it's been great talking with you and partnering with Claudia on this session. I would encourage everyone to, if you don't do it, really consume some of the corporate content that is out there. One of the roles that I've recently come into is a role focused on transformation. And it's all around a lot of these very strategic initiatives that AT&T is undertaking to really transform our customer experience, our employee experience, as well as our cost structure. And there is so much information out there that our leaders communicate with analysts on, that ultimately, you know, we communicate to, you know, the street on earnings calls, and even internally that our leaders are putting together. It provides a great roadmap for where the company is seeking to go over the next year or two, and gives people an opportunity to think about how some of those things might impact their job, their career, their organization, and proactively make plans, you know, for how they're going to be involved or touched by those things, and, you know, what path, you know, it might influence for their personal development. And so would definitely encourage folks to consume some of that content and understand where the business is going, and then engage with their leaders in a conversation about, you know, how it might impact their organizations for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. This has been awesome. Claudia, Kevin, you both have been great, great insight. Thank you for being transparent and sharing your knowledge and your views and perspectives that I believe can, if the audience applies it, it can do nothing but help them grow as leaders and just better individuals overall. I want to thank everyone for joining in with us and paying attention. Apply what you've learned today. Be great and powerful. And we'll see you at next Real Career Talk.